We'll open the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. It is 5:02. Thank you all for sticking around. I again apologize that I could not keep the testimony on the other bills within the constructs of the 2 hours we had earlier, and you had to wait and come back, but we appreciate your willingness to do so. And we'll move quickly into this, again, because committee members are being very indulgent to come back at an unscheduled time. I'm going to limit testimony. We're not moving the bill today, so we're going to take some testimony today, and going to ask people to keep their comments to 2 minutes like we did earlier, so these folks can go and eat dinner eventually. But we're going to stay and hear all of our, I think, 18 people at least who are here to speak. And any questions obviously won't count against your 2 minutes. So with that, let's get into it. I'd like to call up one of our colleagues, Representative Bentz, and then we'll ask Rod and Kurt from the Cattlemen to join him. The next panel up, just so you're here, if you're not here, will be Scott Beckstead. And then we have a few people from over 100 miles, so I'm going to ask them, in case they need to drive home tonight, to come up first. Linda Cochrane and Bobby Jamson, who are here from a long distance. So they're on deck, but please, Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Representative Bentz from District 60, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you so much for hearing my bill, co-chairs and co-chair. Very quickly, this bill is here,
hey, Bob,
because we're building on the concept of reinstating the wolf in Oregon, and I find it interesting that an essential element of that reinstatement, which was the ability to take a wolf, has been called into question by a Court of Appeals commissioner's opinion rendered last February. And so my bill is designed to clarify that law and make it clear that as a part of the conservation plan, put together with a great deal of work by some of the people in this room over a period of 5 years, can be made to work. So I just want to point out how odd some of the situations are. This is not to call into question our Endangered Species Act or our approach to this animal, but it is interesting that the 20 or 30 wolves that we now have came out of Idaho, where there are 1,700 wolves. So those lucky enough to escape Idaho and the hunting season they've now put into place come into Oregon and look back across the river all of 30 miles and wave at their 1,700 friends who are not endangered, but by crossing over that river, these became so. Now, the key here to this committee's or the conservation plan was to make sure that the our ODFW has the power to bring these animals back into our state in a way that works with those of us already here. So it's an absolutely essential element that we be able to take a wolf that becomes too accustomed to eating cattle. And that's what this bill is about. But the concept is not that we're trying to protect the cattle alone. It's also that we're trying to protect the wolf consistent with the plan. And you're going to hear that about this from the gentleman that joined me up here. And these folks are some from my district, some from Greg Smith's district, some from Representative Jensen's district. But all join you here today to explain the necessity of getting this fix, put that back in, or I actually say clarification, so that we can help these folks continue to make a living while at the same time watching these wolf populations grow. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please.
Yes, hi. I'm Curtis Martin. I'm a rancher, and I'm the current president of the Oregon Cattlemen Association. I really want to thank you for the time that you've allowed to give us testimony here. Just want to cover a few points that are just basically factual points that we're bringing forward, and to clarify, go on with what Representative Bentz just said. The Oregon Wolf Plan was developed to meet requirements both the Oregon Endangered Species Act and the Oregon Wildlife Policy, and it's based on the understanding that ODFW has the legal authority to manage and conserve wolves through the variety of methods described within that plan. HB 4158-6 will allow the department, ODFW, to implement the wolf management plan with no further expansion of the department's authority, yet will remain in line with the intent of the plan. That plan was in 2005. Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission adopted that, the conservation management plan. It was a consensus-driven plan that was based on the best available science and research-driven practice for wolf conservation. In 2010, the plan was reviewed and readopted. Scientific research has demonstrated that it is necessary to remove wolves that rely on an unnatural food sources that cause conflict in order to develop a healthy wolf population. That verbiage comes directly out of the wolf management plan. In other states who have implemented the wolf management practices, wolves have far exceeded their population expectations. This has been proven in other states who have implemented wolf management practices, and wolves have far exceeded their population expectations also. The authority for this rule, as it understood and accepted by the groups involved in the development of the wolf management plan, representing the conservation and industry representatives, state agencies, tribal entities, wildlife biology, and the public, was long thought to derive from the Oregon wildlife statutes. The Oregon Court of Appeals recently indicated by Oregon law may not provide this such authority. After the lawsuit, which Representative Vance just mentioned, filed by Cascadia Wild, Oregon Wild, and Center for Biological Diversity to halt the ongoing implementation of the wolf management plan. HB 4166 will reinstate that balance. Just want to clarify that it will not expand. It will just clarify what was previously understood, the wolf management plan, and how ODFW was to respond to that. Thank you very much.
Before we go on, just real quick, both the two gentlemen that just spoke, the Dash 6 amendments are what you're all working from here with your testimony?
Correct.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, please.
Thank you. I'm Rod Childers. I'm a rancher and Oregon Cattlemen's Wolf Committee chairman. I'm from Wallowa County. And thing is that I'm in the county where this issue has kind of arisen from. And over the last couple of years, we've had 22 confirmed livestock depredations up there. And also we're looking at close to 50 head of missing livestock in this same area where this wolf pack is in the last 2010 and 2011. Now, these producers, and that's what we're talking, 8-9 different producers here that have had these kills. ODF&W, they've asked them or requested that they do different non-lethal techniques on the ground. They've done everything that ODF&W has asked them. We've also called people in Canada and in Washington and Montana and Idaho and tried to get ways that we could live with these things or what we could do non-lethal techniques on the ground. And they've tried deflagery. We've had the rag boxes. We've used a range rider. We've cleaned up bone piles. And we've done everything that was asked of us and things. And we lost cattle. The plan called that said that if we got into chronic depredation, that they would take those wolves out and things. We're not asking to kill wolves that are not doing it. The other thing that ODF&W did do is that they issued 31 Cottony Act permits, which was given directly to the ranchers so that they could kill them. Now, they had to be attacking livestock or wounding. You had to be able to show harm if you shoot a wolf with that permit. We've had those through all of 2011. They're reissuing those now. Not one rancher has had an opportunity to shoot a wolf. Things, they are nocturnal. And these kills have all happened at night. And so it's really tough to do this. And so we need House Bill 4158 with the Dash 6 amendment. Thank you.
Any questions for these gentlemen? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess just a question of protocol tonight, how we're doing things, because I have to leave at 6 to get to a town hall, but I want to make sure that I'm hoping that I get to hear from Department of Fish and Wildlife on this, so I don't know if they're on your schedule or your agenda. I see them in the room, and I'd like to know their response to this issue.
They are not actually on here, but I'm sure we could call them up to talk. I'd finish these, let the other 100 milers go, who coincidentally happen to be on the other side of the issue, then, so we've heard a little bit from each side, then go to the department, then resume the rest of the deal, if that's okay. Great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So, Scott, Beckstead, Linda Cochrane, and Lee Jamson.
Jamson. I am within 100. I'm not over 100.
Okay. So let me find another one here. So then Laurel. I know you're not over 100 miles, but you're the first on the list. And Scott, I don't see right now. He went home, maybe. Ivan, how would you like to? Are you even on the list? Sorry.
Yeah.
How would you like to? Okay, please. And then, what about Linda? I think we lost our 100 milers, unfortunately, due to the committee move. Feel badly about that. Okay, so then Noah Green or Nick Katie, Cascadia Wildlands. Okay, let's try this.
Chair Clem, I think you might have lost people because of the time change.
Yeah. So this may go quicker. I feel badly about that part too. How about Robert Clavins? Yes. And then we'll do the department after that, and then we'll get back into our list. I asked for Noah, right? No Noah. Okay, Robert. Okay, please. And actually, Laurel, I think no one else is 100 milers. I think I lost all the 100 milers. So please, why don't you start? You're at the top of the list.
Okay, I'm Laurel Hines, and I can't remember exactly what all I'm supposed to say, but Representative Clem, Representative Esquivel, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, sorry. If I was a lobbyist, I'd know all the formalities, but
I'm not.
Don't
worry about it. As long as your name gets in there, that's fine.
Okay.
All that counts, your name.
What?
That's all that counts is your name.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of upset about this being a bill because I thought that this legislative session was supposed to deal with mainly emergencies, and I don't see how this is an emergency. I think that the Oregon Wolf Plan deals with this issue enough. I had a chance to ask, actually clarify some things to make sure I was correct on the Oregon Wolf Plan with the man from Fish and Wildlife here. And they already have a compensation plan, and it's my understanding that it's the compensation plan, even though it's no longer from Defenders of Wildlife, who I think was doing it before, but it's apparently going to be coming from the legislature or something. I'm in favor of a tax write-off, but I think that the wolves are our endangered species, are our wildlife, and not just the cattlemen's to kill. I don't think cattle are endangered. I think, anyway, I won't go into all that, but I think that the Oregon Wolf Plan already handles this issue, and I think that Oregon Fish and Wildlife are the best experts to deal with this issue. And I think that what I like about the Oregon Wolf Plan is that predation has to be proven, and it has to be proven that all possible methods are taken to avoid predation. And it seems like that is a much wiser plan. At the last wolf hearing, it was mentioned that Oregon tourism could benefit from wolves once enough of them are in the state, just like Yellowstone National Park has benefited. And I just think 4158 is way too simplistic. And killing endangered species should not be called conservation. And I urge you not to pass it out of committee. Thank you.
Either.
Go ahead. Co-chair is Clavin Esquivel.
My name is Rob Clavins. I'm the Wildlands and Wildlife Advocate for Oregon Wild. We're a statewide conservation group with over 12,000 members and supporters who believe there's room in Oregon for both native wildlife and people. We backed up that belief with action, education, and even funding to help the livestock industry readjust to living with wolves in the landscape. We also work to demonstrate the positive effects of wolves that get so little attention when there are always other folks more interested in perpetuating unnecessary conflict and controversy. This is the third year in a row now that wolf bills have been introduced to this committee. Last year, a colleague called them the Little Red Riding Hood and Three Little Pigs Bill, and this year we see the Chicken Little Bill. It's a hysterical piece of legislation that is arguing Oregon's 29 endangered wolves constitutes a state of emergency. Anti-wolf activists think you should interrupt the important work of the legislature during a budget crisis to declare an emergency, undermine basic environmental laws, and fast-track the killing of an endangered species. Oregon Wild knows a thing or two about the Wolf Plan. For 7 years, we advocated for its full implementation and funding, and we defended it against a barrage of attacks from the Oregon Cattlemen's Association and others intent on killing wolves.
The wolf plan we supported, the wolf plan we supported allowed for killing wolves as an option of last resort. And we came, though we supported a compromise plan, we soon came to learn that we never had a partner in that compromise. Last year, Oregon Wild and other groups were forced to go to court because pressure from the livestock interest had derailed the plan. Instead of focusing on good science, conservation, and education, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife was under near constant attack from anti-wildlife groups who demanded wolves to be shot at every opportunity. To the extent that wolves do create a hardship for a small number of livestock managers, the public has bent over backwards to address it by way of a taxpayer-funded compensation program and now tax breaks for an already heavily subsidized industry. Most Oregonians believe living near the big wild places of the West is a privilege and a blessing, and they also understand that coexisting with native wildlife is not an onerous burden but a responsibility that we all share. This reckless legislation is dramatically out of step with the values of most Oregonians. We're facing more than enough real emergencies in the state, and we don't need to be manufacturing new ones.
Thank you.
Chair Clement Esquivel, for the record, my name is Ivan Molusky. I'm the Conservation Director of the Oregon Chapter Sierra Club. We have nearly 20,000 members across the state. Before I jump into my testimony, I did want to note that I handed in testimony from two other organizations. Scott Bexted, you had mentioned, from the Humane Society of the United States, he had to leave, so I handed in his testimony. Also, we've handed in testimony from the Mazamas, a 3,000-member hiking and climbing organization, both opposed to House Bill 4158. So the Oregon Chapter of the Sierra Club urges you to your opposition to this bill regarding lethal control of wolves in Oregon. We've worked for years to help reestablish wolves in their native wildlands in Oregon, including supporting Oregon's groundbreaking wolf conservation and management plan and the creation of the state's compensation program for livestock owners who suffer losses due to wolf depredation. While we accept that under the wolf management plan, some lethal control of wolves may be necessary in rare situations, we oppose this bill and other legislative efforts to overturn the recent stay on an ODFW kill order issued for two wolves in Northeast Oregon's Naha Pack. Lethal control should truly be the last resort, after livestock owners have exhausted all non-lethal means to prevent depredation. In the case of the Naha wolves, the ODFW has been under tremendous political pressure to kill some or all of the wolves in the pack, even though it is not clear that all available non-lethal means to prevent livestock depredation related to this pack have been taken. Further, under the rule revisions made to the state's wolf plan in recent years, all it takes is two confirmed cases of livestock losses to label the depredation chronic, justifying lethal control measures. With Oregon wolves still on the endangered species list and numbering fewer than 30 animals, we believe the bar must be set much higher than ODFW has established for lethal control to be considered. While we are not party to the lawsuit that brought an injunction against killing of the members of the Naha Pack, we believe that the kill order issued was primarily intended to relieve political pressure on the agency from the Oregon Cattlemen's Association and their supporters. Given the recent efforts during the past three legislative sessions to expand lethal control of Oregon's wolves, today's bill, and what we expect to be future legislation on these matters, we believe there is likely no way to satisfy some anti-wolf interests until wolves are once again completely exterminated from this state. To the extent that the lawsuit can bring about a better wolf management plan that ensures that all non-lethal means are taken before lethal control, we support it and oppose legislative efforts to intervene in the ongoing legal proceeding and potential settlement discussions among the parties. The state's new compensation program to fund non-lethal prevention efforts and compensate ranchers for proven wolf-related losses, as well as the tax break that you're considering, should be allowed to work before the legislature takes action on this particular bill. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for this panel? Okay, thank you very much. So, yes, now the department. Please, thinking out loud here. If you could come up so we can get Representative Springer's questions answered, and then we'll go back to our sign-up sheet. The department in the form of Kurt Melcher. The whole department, where he is.
Thank you, Co-Chair Clem, Co-Chair Esquivel, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kurt Melcher, Deputy Director for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We did not bring prepared written testimony here today, but are available to answer any questions you may have.
Representative Springer.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Kurt, for being here. So talk to me a little bit about how the department would implement this, how the department would react to this, respond to it, and then also is the department supporting it? Or where is the department on this?
And are you referring to dash sixes?
Yes.
Yeah. Co-chairs, Representative Springer. So as with most bills, you'll see the department over here, we're neutral on this bill. I think it's clear that this language, the bill language in the dash six amendment, does, in at least in our minds, clarify the commission's authority to implement the wolf management plan. So we have a commission adopted plan. We've been implementing that plan now, actually since 2005. Plan was renewed and reviewed in 2010. We've been implementing that plan. This bill language simply clarifies the commission's authority, all the authorities under that plan. So it doesn't change the plan.
So I'll ask a question. So I assume there's a portion right now that isn't being implemented due to the lawsuit?
Sure. Co-chairs, Co-Chair Clem. So under the current stay, all lethal take by the department and by the commission is essentially on hold, if you will, until the court renders an opinion, which is sometime out. Basically, our expectation is it's sometime out, perhaps a year, perhaps sooner, if things expedite.
Thank you. Yeah.
Anybody else for the department? Okay. Thanks, Kurt.
Be here for the rest if you
yes. want more. Okay, I'd like to call up Al Elkins from OHA, Barry Bashu from the Oregon Farm Bureau, and Daryl Fuller from Sheriff's Association. Is this the right group?
Hey, Barry. Hey, Al. Thank you. Co-chairs, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Al Elkins with the Oregon Hunters Association. We support the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 4158. In their original statement from February 7th, the Oregon Cattlemen's Association talks basically about what Kurt Melcher just mentioned, giving the this clarifies the commission's authority to implement the Wolf Plan, and we support that wholeheartedly, and hope you will consider passing this bill out. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. And whoever would like to.
Thank you, Co-Chair Clem, Co-Chair Escobal, and the rest of the committee. My name is Barry Bashu. I'm here representing the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. I appreciate your time. It's unfortunate that we have to pass legislation to protect ranchers' livelihood. It's sad that the parameters and authority of the Wolf Management Plan were challenged in court by folks with no concept of the financial and emotional challenges facing my ranching friends. Their families have spent generations committing to the communities, the industry, their environment. And this bill clarifies the role of ODF&W to manage and take wolves is necessary. As to a previous speaker's comments about this isn't an emergency, it probably isn't to someone whose livelihood doesn't depend on protecting their crop, something that unfortunately these people will never likely understand. I had no idea and don't believe that the cattle industry is heavily subsidized. Otherwise, I would have traded my failing nursery for cattle. This bill is critical for these families. Please pass it on to the next stages of this legislative process. Appreciate your time.
Mr. Chair, excuse me, members of the committee, Daryl Fuller on behalf of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. The 36 elected sheriffs in the state of Oregon believe it's their sworn duty to protect not only the lives but the property of the people that live in their districts or their counties. And we believe that it's imperative that there be a process in place that allows predatory animals that are taking property in a chronic fashion, that we have a method for dealing with that. The court case clearly interfered with an agreement that had a process in place, and so we support the Dash 6 amendments which restore the integrity of the plan, and I encourage you to support it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for these gentlemen? Thank you. Okay, Tierra Curry, Janet Conklin, and Amy Atwood. I don't know who I lost or not, so I'm just going to go down the list and give a little bit of time. Tierra Curry, Janet Conklin, or Amy Atwood? Okay. Kate Saunders. I tried Linda Cochran earlier, I think. No Kate Saunders. Barbara Nelson.
Barbara Wilson.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Barbara. Yes, Barbara Wilson. And Nick, we heard from you, right? Nick, wait, did I? Nick Cady. I tried that earlier, but I don't think Nick's
here.
Okay. Kristen Hessick. And
Oksana's here.
Oksana. Yes, thank you for staying. Okay. So Barbara, you're up, and then after that I have Ann, and then if you're here and not on these sheets, you're still welcome to add yourself in. Obviously, this has been a little bit off because of the change. So if you're here, and I didn't call you, besides Ann Buell, who I have next, I don't have anyone else, so be ready to go. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, yeah. I'm Barbara Wilson.
We're not going to deny anybody who's here. I'm just trying to make that clear.
Okay. Yeah,
thank you.
Co-Chair Clem and Co-Chair Escavel, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on this issue. I represent Friends of Mount Hood, which is a conservation group located primarily on the north side of Mount Hood at Hood River, Parkdale, Mount Hood, the community of Mount Hood, Gresham, and parts of Portland. Our mission statement is dedicated to biological diversity of native flora and fauna on Mount Hood. And as far as we know, we have not had the pleasure of a wild wolf on Mount Hood recently, but we would welcome such an animal. Now, we believe that wolves are a legitimate inhabitant of the wild areas of the Pacific Northwest, and we wish to express our great passion for the wolves that we are aware of. I did want to speak to previous testimony here. I've heard people say in support of this measure that all it is to clarify what's been agreed upon in the past. And I have some skepticism to that statement because I do not believe the Cattlemen's Association and these lobbyists would show up only to clarify what was agreed upon previously. I believe, and my group believes, this is an attempt to increase the killing of additional wolves in the area, and we protest that. Now, let's state the facts here. There are 29 wolves in Oregon, and there's 1.3 million cattle, and we're talking about fewer than 25 wolf kills in Oregon as compared to 1.3 million cattle. And we are questioning, at what point will the Cattlemen's Association be satisfied with the wolf management plan when we're talking about 1.3 million cattle and only 25 being killed? This is all out of proportion. My group is deeply concerned about this, and the decision of the 1930s to eliminate wolves was really an immoral decision. We don't want to go back to those days of no wolves. And in closing, please be aware that this issue is of great importance to the environmental community, not only Friends of Mount Hood and Sierra Club and Oregon Wild, not only those groups, but for all of the environmental groups of Oregon. We do not want to lose our 29 wolves. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Kristen.
Good evening. Thanks for hearing me. I know it's probably late for you guys here, too.
If your chair had managed the time earlier, we wouldn't be doing this, so it's my fault.
Anyway, thank you for staying. My name is Kristen Hesick. I live in Oregon. I have an extensive personal background participating in wolf research, particularly with the Yellowstone Wolf Project. I also am a member of the group Mzamas, so I'm not here as a representative for them. I'd like to advise you against House Bill 4158. I'm thrilled that Oregon once again has wolves. Wolves, to me, make Oregon places more wild. In Yellowstone, it's been proven that having wolves around has improved the park's natural health in ways that before had never been even imagined, how much a difference removing that one predator has made. And there's also been tremendous financial gain by those wolves being out there, and I think that could happen for Oregon, too. I can understand that ranchers don't want wolves, but there is a way to have both wolves and ranchers in the same place. It's also a lot harder to stand up to wolves. They don't have a lobby. They don't have any way to get their voices heard. So I know it's a lot harder probably as a legislator to to side with the wolves when you have a group of people saying we don't want them here. So I guess as a citizen of Oregon, I depend on you and my legislators to try and really weigh all the issues with science and facts and make the best decision. We have the Oregon Wolf Plan. It was agreed upon as a compromise between all of these groups. Let's stay with that plan. Please don't cave to the pressures from the ranching community. I feel like there is still a lot of misinformation out there from the ranching community. Many who are against these wolves do not have the facts. For example, one of our earlier speakers said wolves are nocturnal. Ask any wolf biologist or any animal biologist for that matter, wolves are not nocturnal. They are actually crepuscular, which means they are most active at dawn and dusk. This is just one example of the misinformation out there. So anyway, thanks for listening, and please do not pass this bill.
Thank you. Oksana.
Well, hello again. My name is Oksana Tichner. I don't know if you can hear me with this microphone. And I'm not a part of any organization. I am just an individual who cares about the issue. Are you not hearing me? I'm sorry.
I can hear you. Okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Is it okay?
That's a little better, yeah.
Okay. So I do understand it's a very complicated issue. And let me look at my notes. I'm sorry. But unless we're speaking about species extermination, killing is obviously not a solution. And what I mean by that, it's not a solution because when you kill one predator, another one takes his place. So if we're talking about this as a management measure, how does it compare to alternatives? And it seems to me also that dealing with wolves in Oregon is a relatively new issue, and there needs to be more time allocated for research in developing more balanced solutions and more effective tactics. I feel like I'm not managing the microphone very well.
It's okay. We're okay. It's okay. That's more for the radio audience anyway.
Right, right. So it seems to me as though the Oregon Cattlemen's Association primary goal is pushing this bill and I guess sometimes it takes a change of goals, and if we can find a common ground in terms of working between conservationist foundations and efforts, maybe we can agree on long-term solutions. Sorry. That's it. Yeah, I'm done.
Any questions for this panel? Yeah, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Point of clarification. Not so much to the panel, but maybe you.
Yeah.
Maybe to Representative Bentz. This bill, as I understand, the -6 amendments, as I understand it, do indeed clarify the wolf management plan that was agreed upon, but there has been basically an injunction against that agreed upon plan, and this is to address that portion. Is that correct? Or is this an expansion of the plan? I've not seen that in the bill.
Well, certainly my understanding, and I think we asked Kurt this pretty directly already, was that with these the amendments, the -6s, it's very clearly attempting to restore the wolf management plan authority that the lawsuit has interrupted, at least temporarily. So, I mean, the real debate, from our perspective, just so you know, the real debate isn't the wolf management plan or not. It's whether or not to interrupt a lawsuit, either let the lawsuit resolve itself in order to get the management plan back up and running, or have us insert ourselves. And I, for one, would rather, to be honest, have the legislature do it than waste a lot of lawyer money on this. And the management plan, is, as a lot of folks said, was agreed to. So if we really want to resume it, let's just resume it right now and save the lawsuit. And I felt the same way earlier today about another lawsuit. I mean, it's part of our job is to make laws, and when they're being challenged, if we can help clarify the situation, you know, we'll do it. So I hope you know that we're hearing you say the wolf management plan is good. We believe this bill just resumes it, and so there we think there's common ground here. At one time, you would not have seen some of the cattlemen, I don't think, supporting the wolf management plan. So for some of us, it's kind of nice to see a lot of people saying the wolf management plan is what we all agreed to. It's just debatable about, you know, now apparently, you know, whether a lawsuit to resolve implementation or the legislature to resume implementation is the best way to move forward.
Thank you for that clarification.
And you're welcome to respond. You don't have to just sit there and take my speeches. You can say whatever you like.
Well, I understand that, you know, they're requesting two more kills, right?
Well, in the bill, what they're requesting is legal authority to resume the plan, which would allow for kills under certain circumstances.
Right, but how is that a solution or a management measure? You know, because it doesn't make it go away. You know, the wolves are not going to go away. The problem is not going to go away, and it's such a hot topic issue that we need to be looking at long-term solutions, meaning the Oregon Cattle Association should be working with somebody to design those tactics.
I don't want to debate you, so I'll just give you the information I know about is the management plan will allow the wolf population to continue to grow. But there will be times in the management plan where some will be killed. But overall, they will continue to be managed back to a certain population the plan designates. And no one's discussing in the context of the plan extincting them. We're talking about growing them to a certain place, but in the context of that, there will be some that are killed in order to let the larger population continue to grow. And that was the compromise of the plan.
Mr. Chair, for the sake of time, I really want everybody to know everything that's going on. I do. But I think we still have some more witnesses, and for this, I encourage everyone to reach out to your legislator, call the department, reach out to the Cattlemen's Association, these nice environmental organizations, and we all need to get educated. But, Mr. Chair, I really think for the sake of time, I'm requesting we move on.
Any further questions for this group? Thank you very much for coming. And again, sorry for making you wait a few hours. I apologize. Ann Buell and Bobby again. And if there's somebody else here who is here for this that I've missed, please join us now. Okay.
Hi, I'm Ann Buell. I'm here as an individual, but I'm also a wildlife biologist, and I don't really understand what you said, but I thought we were talking about a House bill called 1458 and whether or not this is an emergency, and I don't believe it is, because according to the numbers, there's 20 or so cattle are killed by these wolves, and there's like 51,000 losses due to non-predation, and it seems like the cattle industry are able to absorb 140 cattle a day, but 20 or so over 2 years is a big loss, and I don't understand that. And I think this would weaken the Endangered Species Act, and plus we're just talking about 29 wolves, and in the wolves that I think in that area were used to be 10, and then now they're down to 5, and then they're wanting to kill 2 more, so that would potentially endanger those wolves compared to 1.3 million cows, as someone else said, and they only lost 20. I think people are overreacting by wanting to kill the wolves. And this would also set a dangerous precedent and undermine the Endangered Species Act for special interest groups like the Cattle Association. Also, I think the Oregon Cattlemen Association want to use lethal rather than non-lethal methods, and I think there needs to be a better solution than killing them. Again, because of the Endangered Species Act. And also, most Oregonians favor wildlife and wolves, and I've heard that some people are threatening to boycott beef and also our tourist industry if we do this. Thank you.
Thank you. Please.
Well, I've got it written down, and I heard your disagreements with, you know, the what we're talking about. But I'm just going to read.
Your name for the record.
Oh, sorry. I'm Bobby Jansen, and I'm just going to read what I wrote.
Sure.
My name is Bobby Jansen, and I'm a sixth-generation Oregonian. My grandfather's great-great-great-uncle was Jason Lee, and those of you who were in Oregon for sixth-grade history will know that he was a Methodist missionary and the first person to bring settlers to Oregon. Lee founded not only a mission but a high school, Willamette University, and this very city, ultimately generating the Oregon fever that would establish Oregon as a U.S. territory. My husband and I own 20 acres on the Kalapuya River at the outskirts of Albany, where we have a donkey, goats, dog, and lots of wildlife. And because I have domestic animals, it might surprise you then that I am a supporter of wolves and of the wolf recovery in Oregon. We need not worry about wolves when we have safeguarded our goats against coyotes already in our backyard. As I have studied wildlife and ecosystems, I've come to learn how important the predator is to the health and viability of its ecosystem, especially those that are considered keystone predators, such as a wolf. For in case after case, all across the United States and the world, when systems lose these key predators, they become weak, even ill, and eventually are overcome with invasive elements that further choke off the health of the whole until the system cannot support itself and it collapses. I've often wondered what Jason Lee would say if he were to come back to Oregon today. Would he still want to convince people to come? Would he feel that his influence had a positive outcome? As proud as I am to be an Oregonian and a descendant, I am not so sure that he would feel proud about it himself, for so much has changed as people have spread across this valley and state, and much has been lost in the process. With my heritage, I feel great responsibility to make sure that the fauna and flora was here, that was here when Jason Lee arrived, continues in Oregon, and whether this were, and whether this is where one was originated or has become their adopted state, I believe is the responsibility of all Oregonians to make a pact with Oregon to care for the fauna and flora, make sure that it can continue, that our grandchildren can experience all the species that were here when Jason Lee first brought settlers out so many generations ago. And thank you for staying. I'm the last person possibly. So I appreciate it.
Any questions for these two? Okay, thank you for staying. So that's the end of this one. Anybody else? So what we probably will do is if there was someone on this list that you're familiar with, you happen to know them or you're listening on the mic, and you can come back next Tuesday, I think we could take a little, you know, let them real quickly.
Turn in written.
Turn in written in the meantime, certainly. And if you come back, we'll discuss trying to create a little more room, but we have several other bills on Tuesday that are going to take a lot of time. So we apologize for the folks who were not able to return. And I need to announce a carryover of, just for clarification, we said this once earlier, House Bill 4090, 4072, and 4158.
So, and this one. Yeah, so all and, the bills we heard today.
Yeah, and House Bill 4158. Well, first I'll close the public hearing and then carry over House Bill 4158. And with that, the committee is adjourned.